Will you pray with me, please? God, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you for your divine spirit that surrounds us and protects us, for the blessing that is your presence. Amen. Today's gospel reading brings us to the end of Jesus' ministry on earth. The moment when, after the crucifixion and the coming back, he's saying goodbye to his beloveds. And this, the text tells us, loading up into the heavens. So it's a little easy to get distracted by the, wait a minute, what do you mean? He's floating away. He's ascending. It's Ascension Sunday. What does that mean? Where does he go? And I ask, if you're one of those people, those, like, I need something literal to hang on to, and I'm having trouble wrapping my head around this, to just set it aside for a moment. And think more about what this text means in a broader way. How it helps us understand his life, his ministry, his death, and his resurrection. All of which happens because of God's love. Jesus comes to us because of God's love. Jesus' ministry is because of God's love. And Jesus' death. Let's not be mistaken. Jesus died for the way he loved and who he loved. And then he is resurrected because of love. So I know that in church we skip around a lot. We kind of have a general story that we follow throughout the year. But let me just give you a little bit of a summary of where we are. So Jesus was born. He grew up. We don't know a lot about those years, but we know a few things. We know that he did amazing things. We know that he suffered. He was executed. And then he conquered death. And now here we are on the Ascension text when Jesus says goodbye. So what does it mean when I tell you that Jesus conquered death? Why was Jesus killed? Why was he killed in the first place? Why was there a death to conquer? Does anyone have any ideas you want to throw out there? There are a lot of theories of why Jesus had to die. Some say that it was to appease an angry God, to give a sacrifice that is the one ultimate sacrifice. But there's another reason. There is a very human reason that Jesus' body had to go through what it went through. That Jesus suffered. And we know that no matter what we suffer, that Christ can understand. We might not suffer in the same ways, but we experience suffering. And we are not alone. Jesus faced death for the way that he loved, which was unconditional. For who he loved, outcasts and sinners, anyone and everyone. He was nice to women, which was scandalous at the time. And for why he loved. As I said, he was sharing God's unconditional love, and that terrified people. He was able to offer up the truth that we know, that love is more powerful than governments, more powerful than human institutions that control. We know about love. And it's easy for us who have heard this story for hundreds and hundreds, even thousands of years, to just take this as like, oh yeah, this is the story, and those of us who are kind of used to the flow of the church year know that, well, you know, Easter was a couple months ago, so now it's that Sunday when Christ takes to the sky. But what happens if we pause and we realize the miracle of this experience? Not just the miracle of Christ ascending, but the miracle of Christ. God bless our protesters. Man, they always show up on just the right Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Ross says that I order. I know. I'm going to go broke paying off these protesters to come and drum up business for our church. Anyway, the protesters come here, and they once again are trying to scare us from being here. And very much like this angry crowd that surrounded Jesus as they watched other people experience Christ's love and got scared that the love of God could possibly be so big that it encompasses all of us. Our protesters are terrified that the love of God might be something real and powerful, that it might be bigger than their closed minds. They're scared when they look at us and we don't look like what perfection is in their minds, that they might have to share God's love with us. But we know because Christ told us that love is abundant, that there is enough to go around, and that nothing separates us from the love of God. Christ came here. Jesus came into this world with an important message about love. Not just words about love, but Jesus' presence among us. The parousia, the presence of Christ, this revelation of the one that is here, this word, the parousia, it means, in Christian theology, it means often it's used to mean the second coming, the promise that moment when Christ was lifted up into the clouds, that's not the end, that this story is still going. It also, in Greek, just means presence, that Christ is present, that we are present with one another. So let's not forget about this scandal, because it was a scandal, this Christ thing, right? There was a scandal that got us to this point. Christ, this guy Jesus, you know, people started following him, and then they put their hope into him, and then he was crucified in a context where the leaders aren't crucified, the people in power aren't crucified. What does this mean to the worldview of the people who have given away their possessions and have followed him? Did it mean that he's not the real thing? Because a lot of people back then were certainly saying, this could mean that he's not the real thing. It was a scandal that got us to this point, because what changed wasn't whether or not Christ was real, it was the very nature of what is real. What are we going towards? In the text from Ephesians, Paul writes about this wisdom that is coming to us, saying that Jesus Christ may give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation as we come to know him, so that the eyes of your heart are enlightened. And there's the scandal. The scandal is no longer living within the status quo, but the eyes of our hearts are enlightened and we can see in a new way. Something big, something bigger than what we imagined, something that is more important than the squabbles and the drama and the hell that we create on earth. The scandal that brings us to this place of love is what the folks, God bless them, and I mean that, who stand outside and scream at us and call us names. I feel sad that they can't understand that love, that scandalous, earth-shaking love. That we are called to see Christ, that we are called to love Christ. The author of Luke doesn't really focus so much on people watching the ascension, on seeing what's happening up in the sky. We already start to look forward in that moment. Not to see, oh, where's he going? But to look forward to knowing that this is not the end. As I said in the kids' message today, it's Memorial Day weekend, as we all know. And I know a lot of people get Memorial Day and Labor Day and Veterans Day mixed up because it's all days you can't go to the bank or you can't do whatever. But Memorial Day is important because it is a day that we set aside to grieve, to honor those we've lost. I know that for many people, Memorial Day extends beyond remembering those who were lost in wars, and a day to just sit with what we need to remember. And it's always interesting when this falls on Ascension Sunday, because we know that the disciples were terrified as Jesus left. Wouldn't you be? When you lost him once, he came back, and now we're losing him again. And just like little Liam and I were exploring on what to do when we feel sad, when we reach out to God, when we reach out to our beloveds and hold their hand, we honor those we have lost. And when we look toward that presence, that spirit of Christ, we know that we haven't lost anything. When I look around, as I do every Sunday when we have protesters, and I see that there are a few more empty seats, I still know that we haven't lost anything. They have not scared us off. They have no power over us because we have the scandal of Christ's love in our hearts. And we know that that radical message is a love for us and for them and for everyone who is seeking to do right in God's name. Amen.